We've been working in the Psalms, wondering why they are like the way they are. There's a lot of them, 150. But we read most of them as individual compositions, don't we? We read most of the Psalms as if they stand alone. Usually we don't worry about reading them in order. You don't have to read 19 before 20. You don't have to read 23 before 24. Usually we try harder to set a particular psalm in a historical context than its literary context in the psalms themselves. So we read Psalm 51, which is a prayer of penitence, and we set that in the context of David's sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, rather than in the literary context that comes after, you know, Psalm 50 and before 52. So most of the psalms we just read individually, as individual standalone compositions. But there is one group of psalms that are related to each other. Psalms 120 to 134 are 15 psalms together that are called the Psalms of Ascent. Usually they are taken as psalms, as songs, chronicling the pilgrimage of people making their way to Jerusalem for like the annual feast. Every year, people would have to undergo trips to Jerusalem three times a year to go to the great feast. And these are probably songs that they sang as they made that pilgrimage. In the opening psalm of the Psalms of Ascent, number 120, you'll find out that they're far away from Jerusalem. They're out there in the sticks. They got a long way to go. In the closing psalm, 134, you'll find that they're standing in the house of the Lord, blessing the Lord by night. I think those 15 psalms touch on issues that are encountered on pilgrimage. All 15 are actually quite short in length. Only one of them has more than 10 verses. 8 of them have 6 or fewer verses. So if you ever get assigned to memorize 15 psalms, say, I'll do the Psalms of Ascent. And of course, we could linger for a whole week easily on each one of those psalms, exploring what does it say about pilgrimage and what issues does it identify as far as pilgrimage. But for today, I just want to do a quick overview covering all 15 of them. I hope the image of a journey is a useful image to you, a meaningful image to you with respect to your own life. I hope it's meaningful as a metaphor for life itself. I mean, we say things like, where do you want to go in life? That kind of picks up the idea there's a journey to be made. Where do you want to go? I hope you find what you're looking for. It implies, well, you know, you're on a hunt, you're on a search, you're on a journey looking for something. So I hope you find what you're looking for. And of course, I hope that image of a journey is meaningful to you as a metaphor for your relationship with the Lord. Scriptures talk a lot about our walk with the Lord. It talks about running the race, looking to get to the prize. So that image of life as a journey, of our relationship and walk, as a walk with the Lord, as a journey. So hopefully you feel like a pilgrim, on a pilgrimage. And I would like for us to use the Psalms of Ascent today, kind of like you might use a map. When you look at a map, usually the first thing that you do is you locate where you are, right? Sometimes the map helps you out. It'll put a little dot there. It says, you are here. Locate you on the map. I want us to think of the 15 Psalms of Ascent as dots on the map. Dots on the map along the route of pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Psalm 120 is a dot that says, you are here. Perhaps when you notice what's in Psalm 20, it would be good for you to say, hey, that's where I am. You know, I'm the same place on the map as that guy in Psalm 120. Psalm 124.
There's another dot. It
says, you are here.
Maybe when we look at Psalm 124,
you say, that would be a good thing for me to say. I'm about in the same place.
Psalm 129 is yet another different dot that says, you are here. And maybe when we look at Psalm 129, you say, I can relate to that. I'm in the same place.
So just use the various dots, 15 of them, to instruct, to encourage. Are you on your own pilgrimage? Maybe 14 of them will be worthless to you today, but maybe just one of them. One dot says, I should read that psalm, because that dot indicates where I am on the map, that where I am in my pilgrimage. So it'll be kind of a lightning tour, and just a kind of a list. I hope that's not too boring. And again, I realize maybe only one of them is meaningful to you. And if it's 120 and after that you want to do stuff with your phone, do that. Kind of just locate yourself in your own pilgrimage. Because I think these are markers and things that occur in our pilgrimage with the Lord, our journey with the Lord. So first, a couple of general comments. They are called the Psalms of Ascent. That's a reminder that this is a journey that goes uphill. If you want to go to Jerusalem, you have to go up. No matter where you are, you can be north of Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, west of Jerusalem. If you want to go to Jerusalem, you always go up to Jerusalem. You have to ascend. A trip to the house of the Lord is uphill. It's a very interesting thing, just geography-wise. If you just want to kind of go flat, you end up in Babylon. Babylon's out there in the plain. If you just want to journey flat, a lot easier, of course, than ascending, than going uphill, but you end up in Babylon. If you want to go to Jerusalem, you've got to be content with a journey that goes uphill. So if next week your journey feels like it's uphill, that does not mean necessarily that you're on the wrong path. It doesn't mean that you blew it. And now you have to climb back into it or something. If next week your journey feels uphill, it could just mean that the destination is indeed very high. And you got to go up to it. Even if you've been journeying for a long time. Maybe you're at dot number 12. Still up. So the destination is high. That also becomes one of the issues. We'll see it in one of the Psalms, kind of like, I'm sick of going up. When we were in Canada, all the hills are up. Every hike is up. And we read in the book, it says that some of them are easy. How can they be easy? All of them go up. Can't it be an easy walk if they all go up? But the Psalms of Ascent, they ascend. So make your peace with it'll be an uphill journey. And 15 psalms, 15 dots on the map. That's just a reminder, there are multiple issues on the journey. There's just not one thing. Get that one thing down and you're good to go. There's multiple issues. There's manifold and various facets. It's good and important for you to handle well, what's highlighted in Psalms 122 and 126. But even if you handle well those pilgrimage issues identified in Psalm 122 and 126, you still have the issues of 125 and 132. There's more issues than just those two psalms. Indeed, there's, even if you've done well with two of them, there's 13 other ones. So it's just testimony that it's a great journey. It's a long journey. You need to be faithful for many miles through various types of terrain and various types of weather. Careful, don't go too fast on the mountain curves. But then don't fall asleep on the straight sections. Don't do too much looking around when the visibility is good. But use lots of caution when the fog's really dense and you can hardly see to the front of the vehicle type of thing. So just a long journey, a great journey, marvelous journey. But there's more to it than just mastering one psalm. 15. So we'll just do a lightning tour. On the sheet, as we work through it, are just excerpts from that particular psalm. So it's not the whole psalm. Maybe you would want to go back and read it and say, Roger, you missed the important parts. But just some things to kind of, you know, just give us a quick view of what that psalm is about and how what it touches as far as issues of the journey. So Psalm 120, in my trouble, I cried to the Lord. Woe is me for our sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. That's the Styx. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. Journeys begin, in part, because you no longer want to stay in the place where you are. At times, it's very important to say, I need to get out of here. No, I don't belong here. I need to move. This is not where I want my home to be. This is not the company that I want to keep. So it's time to move. That's a very important thing. Maybe that's it for you today. You just have to be willing to say, I don't want to stay in the place where I am. It's not a good place. It's not Jerusalem, it's Kedar. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to live here. This isn't my home. This isn't the company that I want to keep. You know, these aren't my folks. I need to move. So maybe Psalm 120, just in the recognition, time to go someplace because I don't belong here. This would be a good thing for you to say. It's one of the marks of pilgrimage. I mean, if you're completely content exactly where you are, why would you journey any place? So there's recognition here. Time to move. Psalm 121. We just sang of it and read it. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Okay, you're going to move. Time for you to get out of the place that you're in. Are you going to do it on your own? Or are you going to need help? It's right, it's important, it's necessary for us to say, I'm going to need help. Where am I going to get help? Where am I going to look to find help? And to say, I will find help in the Lord. The Lord does not help those who help themselves. The Lord does help those who ask him for help, who look to him for help, who call upon him for help. He helps them. So for the journey you're going to take, you're not going to do it on your own. I need help, and I'm going to look to the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, for my help. Already called attention just in our call to worship. That's a neat thing about this psalm. It's just the first two verses. All you need to say to do this psalm is, where is my help coming from? My help comes from the Lord. And the rest of the psalm is promise that if you look to the Lord, what will happen? He will guard. He will keep. He will be a shade. He will watch over you as you go out and as you come in. As you journey, he'll be with you, kind of like forever. Very neat thing. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Psalm 120 is, I need to get out of the place that I'm in. Psalm 121, I'm going to look to the Lord for the help to journey. Psalm 122 is, so what's the destination? Where do you want to go? Is the destination simply, I want to go have some fun? Is that the destination? I just want to go have fun. It's the destination, I want to go and make a name for myself. I want to build my house, you know, someplace. Psalm 122 reminds us, okay, you need to be out of the place you're in. You need some help. You're going to look to the Lord for help. Where are you going? The right answer is Jerusalem. You know, I want to go to the Lord's house. That's the destination. Very important question, I think, for all of us is, what is your faith set towards? What are you aiming for? If the answer to that, well, I'm aiming for Jerusalem. Maybe I will fall flat on my face, but at least I'm pointed towards Jerusalem. That's where I'm trying to get to, the house of the Lord. I'm reminded of that story of Elijah when Jezebel's after him and Mount Carmel has just happened. He's completely wore out. Leaves his ministry, he runs for his life, he's scared, but he sets his face to go into the mountain of the Lord. Right out there in the middle of the desert. That's where he's headed towards. So this is a psalm, where are you going? Be very glad if you have some folks who would say to you, come, let's go together to the house of the Lord. Not to, let's come, let's go together to Las Vegas, have some fun. Come, let us go do this or that. You're very fortunate. You have some that say, I want you to go with me to the house of the Lord. Let's go to Jerusalem together. Let's march that way together. Psalm 123. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. While you're on the journey, a journey where you need to walk uphill, where you need to ascend, you will notice from time to time that there are others who don't have the rigors, the challenges, the struggles of an uphill journey. They're at ease in the place that they're in. In fact, they tend to mock those who think it's important to go uphill. They're the people who say, you don't need to go anywhere. Let it come to you. They're at ease. Like, why would you go uphill? It makes you hot to go uphill. You're going to work to go uphill. Just be at ease. You're important enough, you know, just order it off Google. Something like that. And from time to time, as you're trying to go uphill, you'll notice these folks who are sitting there at ease, comfortable, not trying to get any place. And you go, is it really worth it to go up this hill? Is it really worth it to do all the struggle to ascend? And you'll notice those, and your soul will get filled with that. That's a very good time when you're struggling with what kind of like others do and how they live. The wicked seem to be a lot more at ease than the righteous sometimes. That's a good time to say to the Lord, Lord, be gracious to me. You know, be gracious to us. Give us the wisdom to see that being at ease right now is not worth missing out on being in Jerusalem later. But that will happen. There's multiple psalms where the psalmist is struggling with, in vain I've kept my heart pure. And the wicked don't worry about it. Concerned about pleasing God, about pleasing others, about doing the Lord's will, they seem to be doing okay. How does that work? Why am I climbing this mountain? Lord, be gracious to me. Help me see how it works. Psalm 124. Let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you've been on the journey to Jerusalem for very long, some of you have, then you know there's a lot of attrition. A lot of people pull out. I mean, there's enough raging waters. There's enough snares. There's enough traps. There's enough attacks to cause any of us, to cause all of us to stumble. And you need to know for yourself. But for the grace of God, I too would be a casualty. The snare would have got me. I would have got stuck in the trap. The raging waters would have drowned me, except the Lord was on my side. It was in your wit that got you through, not your brilliance, not your strength, not your Bible training. It's the Lord was on your side. to just know that it's grace that's brought you safe thus far. You know, not your determination, not any, you know, not anything. It's just grace got you this far. Had it not been the Lord who was on your side, you know, the raging waters would have swept over your house. To be honest, I've gone home at days and I said, Lord, I'm glad today that somebody didn't call me and offer me a job outside of your will for a lot more money. Because if that had happened today, I probably would have said yes. So thank you, Lord, that it didn't happen today. Many snares, many traps, a lot of raging waters, they would get you. Except the Lord is on your side. So say on your own pilgrimage, the Lord wasn't on my side, those things would have got me. By his grace, they haven't. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. So on the journey, there's lots of toils, lots of snares, lots of perils. You won't make it without the Lord. Won't make it without the Lord being on your side. But you can be confident of this. Those who do trust in the Lord, they are on solid ground. Those who trust in him, they're going to make it. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. It's going to happen. You know, the Lord is going to see them safely through. Be very confident that the Lord can get you through. You know, a friend whose motto is, the Lord will pull you through if you can stand the pull. But be confident, the Lord is able to get you with all the snares, the toils, the traps, the snares, the waters. The Lord can get you through. Those who trust in the Lord, Mount Zion, cannot be moved. Maybe that's what you need to just say today. Lord, I trust you. You are going to get me through. I can't be moved as long as I trust in you. Psalm 126. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Something very important here. During the journey, there will be seasons of both sowing and of reaping. Those two things, sowing and reaping, yield very different experiences. Sowing is usually done amidst tears. It's a fascinating thing. The reason sowing is done amidst tears, you're not doubting the quality of the seed. You're not doubting whether the seed is any good, whether the seed can grow and produce a harvest. There's not doubt about that. That's not why it's sowed with tears. It's very costly to bury in the ground something that has life in it. You know, just to scatter out there and bury it, knowing that the Lord has to cause it to grow. That's just a very costly thing. If you've ever done it, you know why there's tears with it. Not doubt about whether it can grow or not. It's just a costly thing to do. But at times on the journey, you have to sow. You don't sow what's to come from the harvest. You just sow a tiny little seed that you bury in the ground and put dirt over it. Some of you know that one of the books that I'm going to write, don't laugh, is Coffins and Seeds. That what you do with a coffin and what you do with a seed is very similar. But the difference between them is what you put in the coffin has no more life in it. And it goes into the ground and it gets buried and nothing ever happens. What you do with the seed is the same thing. You dig a hole, you put it down in the ground, you cover it up, and you leave it alone. But the seed, because it has life in it, grows. There are some things for you and I that are dead. The Lord says, that's died. That was crucified with Christ. Why don't you bury that? Just dig a hole and put it in there and put it down in there. Be done with that. Coffin. Things passed away. Old things have passed away. We need to know how to do that. But there's also things about what the Lord says. That's a seed. You need to dig a hole, though, if you want to have... If the seed isn't planted, it abides alone. If you want it to bear fruit, you got to plant it. You got to dig a hole and put it down in there and bury it up with some tears, probably. So on the journey, you're going to have to sow sometimes. You know, maybe it's with friends. Maybe it's with your kids. And maybe it's with your spouse. But there will be some sowing. But there's also reaping on the journey. Reaping is when you realize the Lord has done things for you. When you realize, I've been on the receiving end. And it's good when you realize the Lord has done things for us. Great things for us. It's right. We're glad. We are very glad. Yesterday was Deanna and my 35th anniversary. This was our wedding verse. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. You realize, like, the Lord brought a harvest. You know, he's given things to you. A good response is, we're glad. We are very glad. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The journey touches on this mysterious, this wonderful, awesome thing. Every house is built by someone. You have to do stuff on the journey. You have to act. You have to speak. You have to spend the money. You have to make the commitment. You have to work at it. You have to take the risk. You have to do stuff. You have to build. Every house is built by someone. But the builder of all things is God. Without him, none of what you do will stand, will abide. So on your journey, you have to solve, so to speak, what theologians for 2,000 years haven't been able to solve. You have to solve the sovereignty and predestination of God in your own free will. You have to do stuff. To build. You have to act. You have to speak. But you have to know, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. You have to watch. But if the Lord doesn't help you, you know, watching isn't going to do any good. A very great example of that is family. Children only come when a man and a woman are physically united. A physical union, right? But every child that has ever been born is rightfully called a gift of the Lord. The Lord is the author and giver and creator of life. That's also true, by the way, spiritually. We won't be a family unless we work at it. If you never call anybody, talk to anybody, care for anybody, pray for anybody, use a spiritual gift to serve anybody, we won't be a family unless you do stuff. You got to do stuff. I got to do stuff. But our working to be a family will be vain if the Lord doesn't cause it to happen. Apart from him, we're spinning our wheels. We're watching in vain. So Psalm 127, this just mysterious thing that has to happen on the journey where you have to build, but you have to know that if the Lord doesn't build, all the labor is in vain. Psalm 128. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. It's an uphill journey. Fulfillment only comes when you reach the destination. Yet the journey itself is blessed and satisfying. That's a good thing to know. If you taste of the Lord, you will see that he is good. There may be pie in the sky at the end of it. That would be a very great thing if there is. But the journey itself, blessed is the man who walks in the ways of the Lord. I have learned that those who are making the uphill journey to Jerusalem, they are the ones most likely to say, it is well with my soul. It's well right now. Amidst all the struggles, amidst all the challenges, amidst the uphill things, it's well with my soul. There's something very satisfying and blessed about being on this journey, even though you're going uphill. And sometimes it's important to acknowledge that. Where you, maybe the good thing for you to say today is just, you know what, I'm good. I got lots of challenges. You know, I got lots of needs. I got lots of things that I need to labor at and build and all that stuff, but I'm good. I'm blessed just to be part of this company, to be on this road, to have the Lord helping me. Just a blessed place. It's well with my soul. Psalm 129. Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, many times they have persecuted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. It's a satisfying journey, it's a good journey, but it's not easy. Even after a lot of psalms, the journey is not easy. You know, this is 129, the 10th one. Many times persecution comes. So you need to say that. This is the second time where we had, let Israel now say. The first one is, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. This one is, many times persecutions have come. So just know, it's satisfying, it's good, it's not easy. If you want an easy road, you'll pick a different road. But also this, of course, it's not easy, but it can be done. On the journey, you'll have many afflictions, but the Lord will deliver you out of every one of them. Well, they haven't gotten yet, type of idea. That's kind of fun, isn't it? So they have not yet prevailed against me. Persecuted me many, many times, but they have not yet prevailed. Great passages in the New Testament, if you know them, about Paul saying, you know, knocked down, but not knocked out. Persecuted but not overcome. Afflicted but not despairing. Lots of times, but they haven't got me yet. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Psalm 130 is the 11th psalm in the series. I mean, lots of traveling has happened. So what's this out of the depth stuff? You know, doing 11/15 of the way down the road. You know, what's this out of the depth stuff? I mean, shouldn't we be long past the depths? Very important thing to know. There are depths. There are pauses in the middle of the journey. Not just because in the depths, and then I, you know, said this is a bad place, I'm going to move, get started, and I've never been in the depths since. There are depths, there are pauses right in the middle, you know, of the journey at times. You can be in Psalm 120 and be in a difficult place. You can also be in Psalm 130 and be in a difficult place and be in the depths and be crying out to the Lord from the depths. And, note this, at times you can be in the difficult place because you blew it. Because of your own sin. That's why you're there. You stumbled, tripped up. If the Lord was going to mark that, none of us would stand. But I'm in trouble right now because I blew it. Forgiveness, though, with the Lord. Doesn't mean you get kicked off the journey. But right in the middle of it, you can be in the depths. Again, maybe because of your own sin, your own wandering astray. Now there's difficulty because of that. Psalm 130. Maybe that's you. Lord, I've been running for a long time, but right now I'm in the depths. And maybe because I blew it. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. 12 psalms in pride can still be an issue. Pretty far down the road, but you can still need to deal with pride. Personally, I think humility in accepting limitations are advanced lessons in pilgrimage. To learn to stay where you belong. I could stand up here for hours and chronicle gifted, talented people of God in ministries where part of the story is, after a while, they got out of the place where they belong. And getting out of the place where they belong, they got in trouble. And the reason they got out of the place where they belong is pride. To learn to accept the limitation, to learn to be humble, to quiet yourself. That's not a matter for you. Just leave that alone. It's very much a challenge for those who 12 Psalms down. You know, they've been down the road. They've done lots of things. They've been a lot of places, gone a long ways. But they are, don't let the pride get the best of you. Even pride that I've made it through 11 of them. You know, I'm God's man of faith and power now. So learning to accept limitation. Just stay where I belong. You stay where you belong. And to be composed and quiet about it. Now, some people stay where they belong, but they make so much fuss and racket about it. Might as well let them out. All the whining and complaining, to be composed and quiet, like the child in its mother's arms, at its mother's breast. To be that way. I'm content just to be where the Lord has for me to be. Psalm 132. Remember, O Lord, on David's behalf all his affliction. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not enter my house nor lie in my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. This is referencing the story of David when David says, I want to build the Lord a house. This is the longest psalm in the Psalm of Ascents. It's about houses. Talks a lot about the Lord's house. It also talks about David's own house. So it talks about the Lord's house. It talks about your own house. Psalm 131 is about being in the place you belong, not letting your pride move you to places and situations and settings where you don't belong. Psalm 132 is about the zeal and about the desire and about the labor that you can have to build the Lord's house. An issue, I think, again, an advanced issue on pilgrimage, is what's the relationship between the Lord's house and your own house? What's the relationship between those two houses? The Lord's house and your own house. Which one are you more zealous for? Think about all those jokes where the concern is about the house that you get when you get to heaven. A lot of jokes like that, right? Are you going to have a three-bedroom ranch or, you know, a split level or just a little tiny goofy cottage or a whole estate? What kind of house do you get? But an issue on pilgrimage is not zeal for your own house, but zeal that you have for his house. And David gets his own house established by the Lord, because he says, Lord, I want to build you a house. Even though he doesn't get to do it, if you know the story. Solomon builds it. But and the Lord never asked for it. David guesses it, in a sense. I'm going to build a Lord's house on Zion. And the Lord says, ding, we have a winner. It's what the Lord himself desired, but he didn't tell anybody. But David guesses it of the zeal that he has, the love that he has for the Lord's house. If you're a long ways down the road in your own pilgrimage, important issue. What's the relationship between your house and his house? Psalm 132. It's probably my favorite one in the whole Psalms of Ascent. It's the longest one, and that just touches it, but an interesting issue. The last two Psalms, 133 and 134, are about the destination. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's a reminder that the destination is a city. The destination is a community, a family. place where we are together. And it's good, and it's pleasant to finally be able to get along with each other. A few times when Jan and I have been driving through like the wilderness, middle of Utah, and you see a little teeny house like all by itself way up there up on the cliff, no other houses for miles around. I said to Jan, probably a retired pastor. Finally, you know, his goal kind of in life is to get away from all the people, and I'm going to live out there in the middle of Utah with nobody within 10 miles of me. But that's not the destination. Your house in heaven is not going to be you on a cliff with nobody around for 10 miles. The goal is for us to know how to dwell together in unity. It's a good and a pleasant thing. The goal is a city, not an isolated estate. And then the last one, Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord, to lift up their hands and to bless Him. So not just Jerusalem, but to stand in the Lord's house and worship. The destination is not just about blessings received when you finally get there. The destination is about giving blessing, to be able to journey all the way there, stand in the Lord's house, stand in there at night, and to bless Him. You know, to lift up your hands, you know, not to receive, but to bless Him. To give blessing. So the whole thing finishes in the Lord's house. Not to get stuff, but simply to bless Him. Again, could say much about that. I want us to think mostly today about the journey. But these last two are about the destination. The brethren, the community of the Lord's people dwelling together, good and pleasant, and about the Lord Himself and being in His house and blessing Him. So where are you on the map? You know, there's 15 dots. I just want to encourage you. I know it's a lot of just information and just kind of work through them really quickly. But find some instruction, find encouragement from those 15 dots in the psalm that just mark places along pilgrimage. So, you know, hopefully one of them says, that's where I am. And that one speaks to where I am in pilgrimage. And again, maybe it's the very first one. You know, I'm in a bad place. I need to move. Go right down the line. Well, if I'm going to move, I'm going to do it on my own or going to have help. Or I'm going to look for help. But where am I going? Okay, I want to get out of here, but where do we go? You know, what's the destination? What about the traps and the snares along the ways? How am I going to escape those? Lord, be on my side. You know, and go right on through. Maybe it's, you know what, I've been doing this for a while, but I have more zeal for my own house than I do for the Lord's house. I think more about the house I'm going to get than about building His house. Time for me to be zealous about His house. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyelids, rest to my feet, part my hands until the Lord's house is built. So I don't know which one, but hopefully you can find yourself there. And then maybe it's to simply say, blessed is the man who walks in the ways of the Lord. This is a good path. Sometimes I struggle with the ease that others have. Lord, be gracious to me, but you know, it's a good path. I'm glad, very glad, the Lord has done great things for me.